I feel very called to become a member of the Catholic Church.
Love the Catholic Church. It's just the best place to be.
From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line. In North America, call toll-free 1-800-585-9396. That's 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
You know, our esteemed producer, Mr. Michael McCall, many of you probably are not aware, but our esteemed producer, Michael McCall, is a proud graduate of professional wrestling school. He is, Barbara. He is a graduate of professional wrestling school.
That's amazing.
Yes, and he was he played the role of an evil manager on a not quite ready for prime time wrestling circuit for a while.
Yes.
And so there's a phrase that you would hear from time to time when masked wrestlers would be introduced at such events, and I think it applies to you today, Barbara. As Barbara McGuigan comes to us from parts unknown.
You are crazy.
Somewhere on the left coast.
Yeah, I'm in the boonies now. I'm in the boonies, but hey, I'm getting good reception, praise the Lord.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Listen, if you want to be part of the program, we talk the life issues on EWTN's Open Line Tuesday. The number is 1-800-585-9396. It's toll-free anywhere in North America, 1-800-585-9396. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. You can send us an email, openline@ewtn.com. Or you can text your question to Barbara. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name and your question. Message and data rates may apply even to the boonies. So be mindful of that. I'm Jack Williams. Michael McCall, as I mentioned, is our producer. Matt Gubensky screening your phone calls. Jeff Burson is back in the saddle today, taking care of our social media endeavors. And our host, as she is every single Tuesday that she's not moving, Barbara McGuigan. So you're moved.
I'm moved. It gets better every day, put it that way. I'm still buried in boxes. Still have an empty desk, but lots of boxes. So anyway, it's all going to happen.
So you're at a secure, identifiable location.
Do you want me to identify it?
I don't care. I'm just...
Okay. It's a wonderful little town called Murrieta. And it's about 5 minutes from wine country, Temecula.
Wow.
You've heard of Temecula, right?
Oh, yeah.
You have. So it's just a very peaceful, very quiet place. And I'm just so grateful
to
that.
So you're kind of digging it so far?
At first I was thinking, what did I do? You know? But yeah. Now I'm feeling... like this is where God wants me to be, and I found a wonderful Catholic church, which is only like 4 minutes from me.
Wow.
And it's Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not.
That is amazing. How good is our God, huh, Barbara?
Oh, he's it's embarrassingly.
I mean, he'll ask
good.
You to do something that you think is absolutely ridiculous, and the next time you turn around, it's the most glorious thing that's ever happened.
That's it. Yeah. That's it, Jack. You're so right.
Once again, the number's 1-800-585-9396. We'd love to talk to you today. Barbara, you got a friend that's back, right?
Yeah, Kevin Kukla, ProLife365.com, okay, www.ProLife365.com, has been away for, I don't know, a year, maybe a year and a half, something like that. But... I received an email from him, and it's on 5 examples of effective pro-life, quote, inflammatory language and rhetoric. He's been on The Good Fight with me, and he's just a great young man, and he has three, maybe four children. I know he had two. He loves Pro-Life 365, Jack, and I commended him because when his wife got pregnant, either with the third or the fourth, he'll have to correct me on this, she needed help. She needed more help than he was able to give doing the website, and so he quit for her. And I knew it was something that he loved, and he was so committed. He's always been a committed pro-lifer. And so anyway, but he gives the five examples in perfect order, if you ask me. It's the perfect right order. Number one, referring to abortion as killing. And I would just add a little bit to this and showing the folks why and what abortion looks like. I think those are two more important things. When I was a rookie pro-life speaker, Jack, I was invited, and if you heard me say this before, you can stop me, but I was invited to Planned Parenthood. Did I ever tell you this?
I don't believe so.
Okay, well, I was invited to speak to all their employees at this big abortion center. Abortionists were there, nurses, assistants.
And they knew who you were.
Yes, the reason they invited me in is because they wanted to see what I was doing in the schools. Now, at that time, I was getting into a lot of public schools as well because I was a rookie. I was new. I talked the pro-life message, but also with the chastity message. So I spoke to all of them as if I were speaking to teenagers because they wanted to see what I was doing in the schools. And so my approach is very gentle, but very matter of fact. Always backing up my facts with truth. And I've never had to look into such dead faces for the entire 2 hours that I was able to spend with them. I honestly, Jack, no emotion whatsoever. But however, there was a nurse in the front row. I had her white coat on and everything. She was an assistant in abortions. And she softened a bit, I could tell, as the rest were cold as ice. Until I showed them, and you're probably too young to know about this, Jack, but Dr. Nathanson's silent scream. That was the first, well, okay, that's what I was showing to them. That, of course, refers to abortion as killing. So this, of course, was after I gave them a crash course. Not that they didn't know fetal development if they're abortionists, but a lot of the employees, I don't think, were completely aware because I thought they might understand the humanity of the unborn just a little better. If I gave a little recap, it's so important to discuss fetal development. Well, the silent scream gave them way too much truth. And a few young assistants ran out of the room crying, screaming, crying, and they were very angry, which I expected. I knew enough at that time to know that St. Thomas Aquinas said, the first response to truth is anger. So whenever I would give any kind of a seminar or retreat, I would always try to disarm some of my listeners, not all certainly, but by saying that if any truth that they heard come from my mouth today makes them feel angry, that's okay. I understand. That's okay. So, by the way, then, about the nurse in the front row, I saw her about 10 months later at the DMV of all places. She was carrying a newborn in one of those little swingy carriers, right? I smiled because I recognized her right away, and I said I remembered her. And she said to me, after your presentation, Barbara, I left Planned Parenthood, and I couldn't wait to have a baby. And here she is. And she said, I'm also being trained to teach NFP, so nothing is impossible with God's grace. I added that, you know, when she said that. So because you do have to refer to flatlining a baby's heartbeat, however you want to put it, it's important that we tell it like it is. So the inflammatory language number two was calling the unborn babies. Boy, that they cannot take
How
that.
How dare you?
How dare you call it a baby? I don't know if you wanted to call it a gorilla or a vegetable or whatever, but it happens to be a baby. And number three, calling the pregnant girl or woman a mother. That's another thing. inflammatory language number four is calling abortion clinics abortuaries, which is one of my favorite terms for them. They're death centers. What else would you want to call them? And inflammatory language number 5, labeling the loss of the unborn to abortion a genocide. That is something very hard, especially for some of our African-American brothers and sisters, because they do have a very high genocide rate, so which breaks my heart. But remember, since 1974, Jack, over 70 million babies have lost their lives to surgical abortion, and I always add in the 280 unborn babies that were killed by chemicals. So let's face it, the mainstream media will show anything on TV these days, especially violence. It gets more violent, it seems, every day. But they refuse to report on or show pictures of the most common surgery in America. So that was a problem. That was a big problem. And so I really want to give kudos, and I want to encourage our listeners to go on prolife365.com, and you can pull up under language and rhetoric all about this, because he just gives little short tidbits of, but very profound, very important information.
Well, I appreciate the youth to which you have attached me, but I was picketing and praying at abortion clinics when Dr. Nathanson was still performing abortions. So,
no kidding, really?
Oh, yeah, because I mean, what he early '80s, right, is when he had his epiphany.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Yes, that's very true. Yeah. 80, 81. Yes, that's
older,
when I got
I'm
in.
I'm older than you reckon.
Well, you just are doing a good job of it then, because I would never know.
1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number, 1-800-585-9396. EWTN's Open Line Tuesday with our very own pro-life warrior, Barbara McGuigan.
All people are called to communion with Christ in the church that he founded.
People really gravitate to David Andrews and his concern for the callers. That's not just talk. He really means it.
Tom and I are both converts. We've walked that path, and we try to walk it with the listeners at whatever stage of the journey they're on.
It's EWTN's first weekly radio-to-TV talk show. Call to Communion with Dr. David Andrews, Thursday, 1 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Television.
Being part of EWTN Media Missionaries is a perfect way to help us fulfill our calling from Christ to make disciples of all nations. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com and join us in sharing the eternal word with the world.
And I'm Doug Keck here on EWTN's Bookmark Brief. I just finished talking with my great friend Marcus Grodi about his new book, Life from Our Land, The Search for a Simpler Life in a Complex World. And Marcus, could you give us a synopsis of what this book is about?
Well, maybe the subtitle really puts it. How do we understand Christ's radical call to simplicity? Often statements about denying wealth and possessions. How do we live that out? Mm-hmm. Does it necessarily mean leaving the city and going to the country and getting a farm? No, not necessarily, because you might find that's not a simple life at all. Mm-hmm. But the book's about is what Marilyn and I did learn and my children from our time in the rural life about living a more detached, mm-hmm. simple life in obedience to Christ, and then trying to figure out how we can pass it on to our kids.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much, Marcus. Look for Marcus Grodi's interview about his book, Life from Our Land, The Search for a Simpler Life in a Complex World. It's available through the EWTN Religious Catalog. Thank you for joining us on this EWTN Bookmark Brief.
This is Colleen Kelly Mast.
Hello, this is Archbishop Charles J. Shapu, the Archbishop of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
This is Catherine Seltner, host of EWTN Pro Life Weekly. Thanks for listening to EWTN Radio.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Open phone lines, 1-800-585-9396. We want to hear from you today, 1-800-585-9396. Tony's watching on YouTube. Hi, Tony. She wants to know, Barbara, what advice do you have for a Catholic couple that are living together but not yet engaged? I try to give advice, but they just don't get it.
Unfortunately,
we may be missing a step here also.
Missing a step.
I don't know that being engaged would fix that situation
no,
either.
No, it's so true. And sometimes they call it that, like it's part of their engagement. But, you know, living together is making a commitment not to be committed. That's really the bottom line of it. I mean, you can say, oh, I love you so much. I just have to be with you. I'll play house. I'll sleep with you. I'll cook meals with you. I'll even have children with you. But I'm not going to commit to you. And if you start to get on my nerves and we are not getting along and God only knows what can come up in a situation like that, I can walk. And this is the problem. This is a serious problem. And unfortunately, Jack, it has been bought lock, stock, and barrel, not just in the United States, but all over Europe and in many other countries. So it's unfortunate because they're missing the point. They're missing the whole point, you know, of the marriage and what marriage is meant by God to be. You know, I am willing to risk all the consequences of loving you is really the bottom line.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
If we're rich, you know, I'm making the vows. I'm saying the vows, you know, it's for richer, for poorer, not for richer, forget it. That sort of thing, right? But, you know, I'm willing to risk all the consequences of loving you. If you're rich, I'm going to love you. If we live in poverty, I'm still going to love you. If you're sick, I'm going to love you. If you're healthy, I'm still going to love you. Whatever it is, until death do us part. And only by the grace of God can you live that. And so a lot of these folks that are trying to live together without God, really, I've never seen them flock to churches too much. It's unfortunate because it's not true happiness. And I think it was at Rutgers, wasn't it, Jack? Rutgers University came out with a study, totally secular study of people living together, because it's been going on for a long enough time to do a decent study. And what they found is that 75% of people who live together outside of marriage end up divorced within 10 years.
Hmm.
It's big.
You know, and I'll tell you, I think we, you know, listen, the truth needs to be proclaimed in every season, for sure.
Yes,
but
sure.
I think we live in a time when this message really needs to be proclaimed, because
yeah,
this has become so commonplace,
yes,
and so accepted that I'll guarantee you there are people out there that don't even understand that there's anything wrong with it.
I know. And that's what's so sad, you know, because then they wonder why the happiness that they had hoped for and that really God wants them to have, they suddenly wonder what went wrong. And there again, the importance of knowing who we are and who God is and what he expects of us. It's because God has been left out of the picture, Jack, so much.
You know, and I think the phrasing of the question, you know, is a bit of an indictment in itself.
Yeah.
You know, comparing living together, you know, but not being engaged. You know, when that's really not the standard for happiness that was set by the creator of the universe. You know,
yeah,
a wonderful
yeah
pastor of ours in Iowa, Monsignor mm-hmm Joe McDonald of happy memory.
Yeah.
He used to say that he would frequently get, you know, and he obviously wouldn't mention any specifics or disclose any identities, but he would frequently get people in the confessional who would confess cheating on their boyfriend or cheating on their girlfriend.
Mm.
And he would always say, let's back this up a step.
Yeah. See, God love them. I mean, God knows their hearts and he knows where they're at, but they've bought the lie. See,
yep,
that's the whole thing. They bought the lie.
Shannon's also watching on YouTube and she says, Barbara, do you ever pray to Our Lady of Guadalupe intercessory prayers for the unborn victims of abortion?
You know, I have prayed. There's a special novena to Our Lady of Guadalupe. I pray a lot to the mother of sorrows, to be honest with you. I love that particular novena. And of course the rosary, my goodness. I love Our Lady so much, and Our Lady of Fatima especially. I'm going to be giving a talk in October to a large women's group in San Francisco, and it is on Our Lady of Fatima and what she's telling us today. So I love Our Lady, and I love Our Lady of Guadalupe. And as a matter of fact, and I love the whole story behind her. But Jack, what I want to say is this coming Saturday on The Good Fight, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern, 11 to 1 Pacific, right? I am going to have Dr. George Delgado and his wife, hopefully.
Finally.
Finally, yes.
Between your moving and our schedule here, we've put the poor good doctor off about three times now.
We have had to do that. And but also, he is the doctor, one of the doctors. I know he worked with the one or two other doctors who came up with the reversal for the abortion pill. Mm. Once the woman swallows that pill, sometimes they feel deep regret for doing so. And he has a way of stopping the abortifacient mechanism of that pill, RU486, right? Plan B, any number, and he turns it around. And so we're going to be talking to a gal who he gave her the abortion reversal, and she's so grateful to God. She works for him now, too. So, anyway.
We want to hear from you. The number's 1-800-585-9396. It's toll-free anywhere in North America, 1-800-585-9396. Barbara, at the top of the program, you were talking about the quote-unquote inflammatory language that the so-called pro-choice supporters would try to throw back in our face. And if I'm not mistaken, you kind of got fired over that once.
You had to bring that up. Well, but first of all, I'd like to say that if any of our listeners have other language that they could add to the list, that Kevin Kukla's list of five that pro-lifers should emphasize, instead of those politically correct euphemisms, you know, prettier sounding words so you don't offend anyone. I don't know how else to say it. Abortion is a little slice of hell. I mean, there's no pretty way to talk about it. And if you try to do that, you will not succeed in influencing the people. So, and I learned this. I learned so much from Father Marks because, you know, if you're really truthful, Jack, and you don't sugarcoat words, you may get in trouble. I told Father Marks one time, and he's the founder and past president of HLI, that the very words that might get you into trouble could also get you canonized. So before I even knew him and only read his newsletters, because my spiritual director was, you know, really into Father Paul Marks, I was on the Speaker's Bureau of a large life center in Orange County, and I was asked to give a talk to all the counselors and board members at this particular life center. And little did I know that Father Marks and I would become the best of friends, as I learned firsthand from a master's writings all about abortion. And I immediately got a crash course from him, of course, on contraception and how the contraceptive mentality required to contracept was also the gateway to abortion. Okay, so when you study all of this and you understand it thoroughly, you start to think that everybody understands it thoroughly. And so the contraceptive mentality, and let me just give a little hint here of what it's like, says I will prevent birth. And this mentality is just taken to a further extent in abortion, Jack, where it now says I will prevent birth at all costs. Even if it means having the heartbeat of my newly conceived child flatlined. After all, I was trying to prevent this life in the first place. So, and then again, I should qualify here too. I'm not saying that contraception is identical to abortion, unless you're referring to abortifacients, right? Nor am I saying that every couple that contracepts will abort their child when their contraceptive fails. I'm not saying that either. What I am saying is contraception and abortion are not identical twins, but except in abortifacient instances, but first cousins at least. So at one point in my talk at this life center, someone brought up, well, rather than contracept, what do you think about sterilization? Just get sterilized if you don't want to have any more pregnancies. Well, it appeared that up until this time at this talk, that the truth about abortion was readily accepted My goodness, it was a life center. Even the truth about contraception could not be denied. But when I used the words of Father Paul Marx, who called sterilization the barnyard method of birth control, hellfire and brimstone rained down on my head. And two souls went berserk. One dear lady went off like a rocket and couldn't think of enough reasons to defend sterilization in her case and enough words to crush my insensitivity. She was a nominal Catholic at the time because I didn't know she was a nominal Catholic, but I would see her drop her two kids off every day at the same grammar school that my kids went to. And long story short, I was called by a Protestant minister a few days later who told me he was on the board, that the board had made up their minds that I had my own agenda that did not involve abortion and that I needed to be terminated from the Speaker's Bureau. I could no longer represent the Life Center any longer. And I'll tell you what happened after that when we come back from the break.
1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. Still have a couple lines open at 1-800-585-9396. Open Line Tuesday with Barbara McGuigan.
Anna Mitchell.
I had this formative experience during one Sunday Mass in the Easter season in seventh grade. During the Gloria, I remember having the sense of being filled. If you can imagine what it must feel like to be a cup being filled with water, that's how it felt. It started at my feet and it moved up my body. And I've come to believe that that was the Holy Spirit. And I can really trace my zeal for the faith back to that moment.
The Sunrise Morning Show, Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Celebrating 100 years of Fatima with Monsignor Charles Pope.
Though the messages of Our Lady of Fatima were completed in 1917, we had from Sister Lucia an important application of the message for our times. She wrote to Cardinal Carlo Caffara in 1981, saying, "The final battle between the Lord and the kingdom of Satan will be about marriage and the family. Don't be afraid," she added, "because whoever works for the sanctity of marriage will always be fought against and opposed in every way, because this is a decisive issue." Then she concluded, "Nevertheless, Our Lady has already crushed his head." Work and pray every day in your own marriage and family to uphold the sanctity of holy matrimony and the family as God sets it forth in the Scriptures. Pray the Rosary every day for marriage and family.
Join EWTN as we celebrate the 100th anniversary of Fatima. Visit EWTN.com/Fatima.
Welcome to EWTN's Catholic Almanac.
It's September 19th, the optional memorial of St. Januarius, bishop and martyr. St. Januarius is best known for a dried vial of his blood that miraculously liquefies on his feast day, an event that has been repeated many times since his death in 305 AD. Also today, the Church honors St. Elias, a 4th century bishop in Egypt. During the persecution of Diocletian, he was martyred for his insistence of continuing to celebrate Mass after his arrest.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
How's the air conditioner working in the new place, Barbara?
Oh, great. It has to. It gets hot here. Really
it's
hot.
It's like 85 in the studio today.
Oh, you don't know.
We have people
guys
coming to look and see what's going on, but Mr. McCall, our producer extraordinaire, this is hour number
behind
2.
Behind the glass,
hour
right?
Number 2 behind the glass for him, and he's getting, well, look, I'll be honest, he's getting a little testy. So please call.
Okay.
Open phone lines make him even more testy. The number is 1-800-585-9396. Our leadoff hitter today is Jerome in McCook, Texas. How am I doing? McCook, Nebraska. Listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. It's the heat, Barbara. It's the heat.
It's the heat.
Jerome, bail me out. You're on with Barbara McGuigan.
Hi, Jerome.
Hi, Barbara. How are
Great
you?
To talk to you. Fine, thank you, sir. How can we help?
I heard you mention you're going to do a presentation on Fatima, which I'm very happy to hear.
Yes.
I'm bringing this up because you hear it nowhere. I've known it for years. I just wanted to ask if you knew, are you familiar with the message and the phenomena of Akita, Japan?
You know what, Jerome? No, I'm not. I'm familiar with Akita, Japan. Akita, you pronounce it Akita?
Well, there was a priest from this area that was there for 50 years. And I asked him when he was back in the 90s, Father, what about Akita? And he said, yes. Akita? Oh, I said, Akita.
Akita, so good, okay.
He told me yes, and he was an oblate. He said the bishops there are very much in favor of the message of Akita. And since that time, the bishop who was there at that time did give it the okay. And in 89, this is a long time ago, Ratzinger, as head of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, even made a statement that it was worthy and reliable and worthy of belief.
Wow.
The connection, Barbara, is that it is directly connected to Fatima. The nun who received the messages, who went through much suffering in her life, at one time she was in the hospital and she was unconscious. Mm-hmm. An angel appeared to her and taught her the Fatima, Oh My Jesus prayer that was added to the rosary, taught her that in Japanese before it was even translated.
Wow.
That's the connection.
That's the connection then, huh?
A Japanese priest came back while she was still in the hospital from overseas to visit her, and she asked him about that prayer, and he was just astounded. It hadn't been translated yet. He had heard it, but he had just got back and found out about it.
Wow, so, I've never heard that. Jerome, maybe you could you email this whole, so I don't forget about this, because this is the prayer, Oh My Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. That was already being said in Akita?
Well, that nun was taught it by an angel while she was in the hospital.
Wow.
Japanese.
That's amazing. That is amazing, and I'd like to put that in my talk. So
well, the message of Akita, Barbara, and I'm not going to go into it because it's the most serious message mankind has received since the deluge.
Wow.
I believe that it fits, and this is just my opinion here. Mm-hmm. I believe that it fits into the third secret. I don't have a problem with that. But the point is, God is giving us connection there, and this is the year of Fatima. We need to go all the way.
Wow, no kidding.
I would encourage you to look into Akita and go that direction if the Lord leads you that way.
Yes, well, why wouldn't he, right? Why wouldn't he after you told me this? I've heard of it. I've never studied it, to be honest, but now I will. So God bless you, good man. Thanks so much for
calling.
Thanks,
Jerome. Appreciate the phone call. Sounds like Jerome has an Akita barking in the background there.
Right?
1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. We'll stay in the great state of Nebraska. Mary is driving through Nebraska listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Mary, you're on with Barbara McGuigan.
Hi, Mary.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just heard you talking about the amazing story. I've listened to the speaker about the abortion reversal pill.
Yes.
Rebecca, it's just a beautiful story, and two things stand out just immensely when you hear her speak. One, at the end of her telling her story, you get to meet her beautiful little son, and that's just unbelievable. And then two...
Can you tell me the ladies... Pardon me for interrupting, but can you tell me the name of the lady? Because I think I know this lady, Mary, but it's not the same one that will be on this Saturday.
The one I heard speak was Rebecca Buell.
Rebecca, okay. I think I met her at the San Francisco Walk for Life, and she was truly,
she's
I interviewed
her.
She's
a darling young woman. Yeah, she's so sweet.
Oh.
And in the middle, she talks about being a faithful person and raised in a good, faithful community.
Yes.
And she expresses that the astonishment from her father that his daughter could just be going through abortion on the second floor of his own home and him not even knowing it.
Oh,
and that was really, that it was just so, that's something that really impacted me as a parent, as a pro-life parent who has, you know, been involved in pro-life ministry and pro-life things for my whole life, sending my child off to college.
Yes.
I thought, I want to really drive home to my college-age son that you've been raised pro-life, and there are things, yes, I expect of you as a Catholic individual. I don't want you to go out and be involved in the hookup world and right. the things I still expect of you. But I sat down and had a conversation with him and said, but most importantly, we're a pro-life family, and
yes.
I love you, and I would love any baby that would come from you. So that right. was a conversation that I thought was very important to have with
yes.
my son after I heard her speak.
Oh, gosh. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you, Mary, for that information. And I can't wait to... He was at my niece's wedding, Dr. Delgado and his wife, Liz, and we I didn't have a whole lot of time to talk with him, but enough time to... just be so impressed with his humility, and he is
yeah.
extremely devoted to Our Lady of Guadalupe. She's been brought up already on the show today, and the Culture of Life Center, and there's a big, if I remember, a big picture, a big statue of Our Lady of Guadalupe. I saw a picture of that in his office, so... Yeah. Well, thank you for being on the front lines, Mary. God knows I appreciate it.
Thanks for the work you guys are doing. Good luck with your move, and hope the air conditioning gets fixed there.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary. I appreciate the empathy. You know, Barbara, it's interesting because Our Lady of Guadalupe has been prominent in the program already today, and
yes.
all last week here in the chapel at EWTN, we had the traveling missionary image of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Oh, you did?
We did.
Well, I've seen her twice in Mexico City. I just could not take my eyes off of her. But then the miracle, when Mexico, this was just a few years back, when Mexico legalized abortion, and all the bishops and the priests in the whole area came together at the Cathedral of Our Lady of the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and they prayed. The altar is kind of right under her picture. And so what happened was they noticed a light, and it did, you know about this, right, Jack?
Yes.
The light it couldn't have come from anywhere. Mm-hmm. It was a full miracle, and it was in the shape of a little tiny unborn mm-hmm. baby in the womb, like an ultrasound vision of this child.
On the image.
On the image, yes. And a priest that I had on The Good Fight, oh, gosh, just a few months later, he was there. And I asked him if he saw it with his own two eyes, and he said, I absolutely did. So I'm not sure if it's still there, but what a sign. What a sign when Mexico legalizes abortion.
All right, so I want to go back to this you getting fired story.
Oh, okay.
So you're contacted by a Protestant minister.
Yes, I was contacted.
After your inflammatory language.
Yes, which is really speaking the truth plainly, right? And so the Protestant minister, well, first of all, the lady who went nuts, who went absolutely nuts, one day, a couple months later, she came up to me, this dear soul, because remember I said our kids went to the same grammar mm-hmm. school, and one day in the schoolyard, this very bright lady came up to me in tears. I was stunned by this. And she had subsequently studied Humani Vitae and the reasons why the church calls sterilization the mutilation of the body. That's in the catechism, to render sterility. And she said she had never confronted anyone in her life like when she attacked me. And she was just tears streaming down her face and said how deeply sorry she was. Bottom line, we became the best friends. We worked on pro-life projects together at the school. And to this day, we are sisters. And we talk not maybe once a year, twice a year, Christmas time usually. Then about a year later, the Protestant minister called to say that he couldn't understand how someone could speak the truth so eloquently about abortion and then start to lie when the topic of contraception and sterilization was brought up. That's what he said. He was greatly bothered by the simple words of Father Marx, and that I quoted that sterilization was the barnyard method of birth control. And he believed, he told me, Jack, that the Holy Spirit inspired him to get a vasectomy. Mm. So I said, but Reverend, I said, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God. God never has a second thought, because that would mean his first thought was not valid. That was a little St. Thomas Aquinas that I wanted to give to him.
You go, Summa Girl.
Summa Girl. And how could he inspire, I said, the Catholic Church and all of her faithful members that sterilization is wrong, and then inspire you, Reverend, to believe it's right? I said, that's impossible. No two contradictory statements can both be true. So he completely agreed, and he apologized with great humility that the grace of God gave to him. And I get chills even now just talking about it, because this is what happens when you speak the truth in love. Because I don't come on and yell and scream or point my finger or anything like that. We're all sinners, and boy, you would have a lot of nerve to point your finger at anyone. And but it upset them, because they were involved in that particular sin, you know? So that's how it worked out.
1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. You know, if you missed the first part of that story from Barbara, never fear, because you can check out the podcast. All of our EWTN radio programs are podcast. In the audio on demand section at EWTN.com. So if you miss The Good Fight, or if you miss Dr. David Anders, and buddy, I'm going to tell you right now, if you missed Call to Communion today, you need to go back and listen, because Dr. David Anders, towards the end of that program, was so filled with the Holy Spirit, it was ridiculous. And had a situation that God himself came down to earth and dealt with, and you're going to want to listen to that. But any of our programs, called Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, The Pop Checks, More to Life, Dr. Ray Guarendi, Women of Grace with Johnette Benkovic, Morning Glory, The Sunrise Morning Show, all podcasts at EWTN.com, so be sure to check those out today. To the mountains we go. Georgianne is in Longmont, Colorado, listening on Denver Catholic Radio. Georgianne, you're on with Barbara McGuigan.
Hi, Georgianne.
Hi, Barb. Hi. A quick question.
Sure.
How do you explain to a teenager, in terms that they will understand, this teenager is very pro-life and understands the dangers of the birth control pill, but how do you explain to them, when asked, why is using a condom wrong, because you're not, you know, it's not abortifacient, but how do you explain to them in terms that they can understand?
Well, first of all, you know how, and the reason they have so much faith in condoms is that, you know, they believe they work. They do not work all the time. And I think so many people were saying, you know, you got to have safe sex. And then all the safe sexers started to say safer sex, because they knew in all of these sex education programs in the schools that condoms did not always work, especially when it came to preventing AIDS. It was explained to me that there are very microscopic holes. You could see it under a microscope, of course, holes in a condom. And it would be like, to prevent AIDS, it would like be trying to shoot a BB through a hole of a chain link fence. I mean, it's something that does not work, especially in the prevention of
AIDS.
Viruses
are tiny.
Very, very, very tiny. So the whole thing is, but the whole idea of safe sex, see, I would blow holes in that right away, because there's no such thing as safe sin. What are you using it to do? It will be fornication. It will could be adultery. Come on. That is mortal sin. You have to spell it out. Go ahead.
Yeah, and she's talking about it in the sense of a marriage. You know, she's saying, well, you know, if a couple's not ready for a child, then what is wrong?
Well, then what about natural family planning? See, the teenagers, now, mind you, I am not for, as seniors in high school, making them competent in natural family planning, but at least give them what you can about natural family planning. Because it is just as, and they say this over and over again, it's just as effective as the birth control pill. So, you know, I mean, how many young girls that I would counsel after a seminar in high school, they'd be lining up, that they would say, you know, they break, they do this, that, and the other thing. And but you have to raise their level of understanding. Get it off that sex ed type mentality and raise it up to, you know, you want to lift up these people. Now, in marriage, NFP. But you know what? I always say you don't even know that you can get pregnant to begin with when you first marry, right? If you want to, I would just give it to God for Pete's sake. You don't even know if you can get pregnant. I used to know the exact statistic on this, but I'm going to take a guess at it, that roughly 50%, it might be higher, of people who were adopting children were using birth control for a long time before they got, before they realized that they couldn't get, they were infertile, completely infertile. So I would suggest NFP, but give it to God for the first child. If you want to plan the second, hey, go ahead. But you don't even know that you can get pregnant in the first place. And there, we have a lot of infertility these days, you know, a lot of infertility. So it's a form of birth control. And, you know, there's nothing wrong, as Father Mark used to say, there's nothing wrong with controlling births. It's how you do it. And the mentality that you have, you don't want to cut the marriage act off from God. That is the main thing. You don't want to cut God out of the marital embrace. Bottom line, condoms would do that too.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you for calling.
God bless you. We appreciate the phone call. Still time to hear from you at 1-800-585-9396. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-800-585-9396. Kate is watching on YouTube. She says, can you recommend devotions and or saints for singles who are perpetually single looking for a spouse?
Perpetually single. That is very cute for her to say it that way. You know, I used to always say to young women who came up to me and said they so much want to find a nice man to marry, a good Catholic man is usually the words they would use. You see, if God wants you to be married, you don't have to beat the bushes to find your mate, your spouse. God will bring this person along. You want to get yourself ready. You want to be ready to be a good spouse and a good mother. And sometimes he's giving us more time. My daughter now she has four boys, 2, 4, 6, 8. Actually, that was last year, so now they're a year older. But she was not 32, I think, when she got married. And it got to the point where I was prostrate in my mind on the floor begging God, because she knew, she discerned that she was meant to be a mother. But she hadn't met the good Catholic man that God was setting up for her. There he was. She was transferred to be, after she graduated from the JP2 Institute for Marriage and Family at Catholic U. Now he's a bishop, Bishop Daly. He brought her back to Marin Catholic High School, and put her right in as the theology chair at the school. She met the physics teacher. And he is just he talk about a gift from God, and what a good husband and what a good father. But she had to wait. She had to wait on God. And that's really the bottom line.
Do you know what's happening on January 8th, Barbara?
No. Tell me.
Our esteemed producer, Mr. Michael McCall, and his lovely wife, Alicia, expecting their first child.
Yes, I do know that. I didn't know it was 8th. January 8th, yes.
39 years old when Michael McCall got married to the lovely Alicia.
There you go. See, you wait on God and you be at peace. And if you want a little prayer, I mean, there are many saints you could pray to. Saint Anne, find me a man as quick as you can. I mean, it gets a smile, but, it's something, it's a desperate kind of prayer. But you don't need to be desperate in the first place. God will fulfill your life.
You need to seek him. You need to pray.
Amen.
You know, I know you've had some of your children that have rolled through Franciscan University in Steubenville. My daughter is there now.
And that's so good.
The joke is always that every girl there is, first of all, named Mary, and second of all, they're all working on their MRS degree, and They hope to have a ring by spring, right?
A ring by spring. That's
and,
cute.
And there's, you know, 60% females on that campus and 40% males, and 90% of the 40% of the males are discerning the priesthood. So
I know.
You can imagine how despair could set in.
Well, but, you know, they're still young, and it really could set in. But, you know, part of it is the culture.
Yeah.
We live in a culture where people want to hook up. They don't want to get married, for Pete's sake. And a lot of them don't even want children. I mean, it's so sad. All of the forms where God said, you are going to be the most happy, no matter what vocation it is you're being called to, when you're in your vocation, you will be the most happy. They are just thwarting by their decisions. It's sad.
You know, and I would offer to her, to Kate, you know, it may not be a good idea to develop a devotion to St. Maria Goretti, because chastity and purity should be the focus of any relationship,
that's
but
it.
Certainly any relationship that should be leading to marriage. And
yep.
This is an area that she can begin to form herself or can continue to
yes.
form herself in before perhaps she's in a situation where she's presented with the person that perhaps God has made for her.
And that's a very good point, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because a pure person, and no matter what's happened in the past, it's never too late to make that decision to be pure in mind, heart, and body. A pure person draws other pure people like a magnet, because they feel safe, they feel that they're not going to be tempted, they don't feel any risk, and that's a good point, Jack. I'm glad you made it.
And it, I mean, it will aid these people in giving their
sure.
whole self to one another.
It.
You know,
Amen.
Just the call we had earlier from Georgianne. You know, she
yep.
can stress to her high school aged daughter
yep.
that if she's being called to the vocation of marriage, that God has someone in store for her.
That's it.
That He intends to give all of Himself to her.
That's it.
And God will expect her to give all of herself to Him.
Yeah.
And if you're going to hold back in any one area,
yep.
then what's to say you wouldn't hold back in any other area?
It's not a total giving of self. But this is what sometimes if the spouse that you want to meet is not there yet, sometimes that because you're not ready. You need to get your mind right. You need to put on the mind of Christ, right? Yes, it's beautiful.
Well, Barbara, we're nearing the end of another hour. I know that the Del Goddess, give us one more tease here on what's coming up on Saturday with Dr. Delgado. And I think you said his wife is going to join him as well on the program.
Well, I hope so. She said, I mean, she's so humble and good and dear. She said if the other ones all wanted to be on it, then she would not be. But I hope so. She's just they say behind every great man is a great woman. And she is. I mean, you know, I said, well, Liz, you could talk about how you sacrifice. You know, an OBGYN is an incredibly busy person, especially one who also has a reversal pill, you know? I mean, it's he is very, very, and their son's going to be a doctor too, so it's what a great family.
Well, Barbara, thanks as always for being so gracious with your time here on Open Line Tuesday.
And thank you right back.
On behalf of our hostess Barbara McGuigan, our producer Michael McCall, our call screener Mr. Matt Gubensky, and our social media maven Mr. Jeff Burson, I am merely Jack Williams. Back at it tomorrow. Father Mitch Pack was in the house. You might want to get in line now on the phones if you want to talk to Father Mitch tomorrow. Thursday, Father Larry Richards in the house, and Colin Donovan, our very own Vice President of Theology, will be roaming the hallways down here by the radio studio on Friday. Thanks so much for carving a little time out of your day to join us on Open Line Tuesday. Back at it with Father Mitch. Until then, God bless.